This is the Network Break, formerly known as the Coffee Break. It's a podcast on the state of business in networking. We discuss vendors, moves and news, products, employees, analysis on product and positioning, and we look at the business of networking in about the time it takes to have a coffee break. I'm Drew Conry Murray, and with me as always is Greg Farrow. Greg, how you doing?
I'm in San Francisco.
You have left the not so sunny and potentially not so United Kingdom.
I did. To come to a place where there's the streets are paved with homeless people.
Yes, San Francisco.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, yep. It's lovely out there. As somebody said to the I was talking to Ethan Banks the other day, earlier today, and he said, you know, you could go downstairs if you're feeling bored, go down and talk to the people, you know, who are waving their hands and talking madly and stuff. I said, yeah, well, I'll do that every day. That's called podcasting. Muttering unintelligible stuff and
to a potentially empty room.
it is
a whole bunch of people who aren't even listening.
That's right.
Wow.
But we love you, dear listener.
Assuming you're there. We think you're there.
Yeah. Well,
but so do the guys on the streets in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's there's not very thin line. Thin, it might be bathing.
Yes. Might be.
It might be. Yeah, sometimes. But then maybe this is a little too personal. So I was here this week as a guest of Intel.
Intel Developer Forum?
Yes, they wanted to influence me. And
so they plunked you down with a bunch of homeless people and said, how we doing?
So much potential, isn't there? So the Intel Developers Forum happens in San Francisco once a year, I think. Maybe it happens in other places. It was a very nice event. It was held in the Moscone Center. And I tell you, if you ever wanted to see the word software defined in every permissible conversation, that was it.
Okay, setting it was a new record.
A new record. Just in case you thought software defined might be over, no. I'm sitting here looking at the presentations. I have a slide. I especially brought it home. I think I'm actually going to put it up on the wall, but really... every single presentation I went to in the data center was software-defined storage. Then there's one about virtualizing the network to enable software-defined infrastructure. Now we've got bare metal and Docker containers and virtualization, and in that presentation we actually said software-defined software. I'm not joking. This is software-defined infrastructure.
So we're at the point where this whole thing starts to collapse in on itself and create a black hole.
Yeah.
The entire IT industry into it.
Software-defined infrastructure, architectural challenges and solutions. It goes on and on. Software-defined infrastructure again, dynamic service chaining with Intel, which talks about software-defined networking, on and on and on. So I thought, at first you sort of want to shake your head and do face palms and slap yourself and sort of go, what is this on about? But the astonishing thing was that I sat through many of the sessions. Not often at a conference I actually get to sit in sessions, but I did, and learned a hell of a lot about how Intel is funding the arms race.
Okay, tell us.
So if you can imagine that at the end of the day, software is made of hardware.
Right? Okay.
So if you have a cake, it's made of flour, eggs, and sugar, right?
Yes.
But everybody just wants their cake.
Yes.
And they kind of forget about where the flour, eggs, and sugars come from. And in the rush to do software-defined networking and software-defined storage and software-defined everything else, people forget that you still have to have flour, eggs, and sugar. But personally, just as an aside here, I actually have a belief that cake might be the sign of true civilization. Just...
You mean it's ready availability?
Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, if you think about cake, you've got to have, like, as a commodity, right? To be able to make cake, you have to have so much food that you can actually turn it into, like, fancy food. And to make it, you have to have flour, you have to have eggs. I don't know if you know how hard it is to actually have chickens. Chickens don't lay eggs naturally. You have to do quite a bit of work to make them work. And you have to have sugar. Sugar is very difficult to make unless you can do cane sugar or... In the old days, they used to grow sugar beets.
Yeah. Yes.
And then boil them down to extract the sugar, if you can imagine that. And, you know, oil, even things like oil, you've got to have a crop you can crush, like rapeseed or stuff, to make oil that goes into your cake and all that sort of stuff. It's an incredibly sign of a fully advanced economy that you can make a cake out of primary ingredients. And Intel is, that's what Intel's
doing.
Or that
you can have a cake delivered to you via the internet, I think.
That shows you, yeah, you might have jumped the shark at this point.
Yeah. When my cake is delivered on a drone, then we will have reached the pinnacle.
Cupcakes on a drone.
That's right. One cupcake on a drone.
That's right. Yep. The drone thing. I was thinking to myself about the drone things. What happens if I'm on the 28th floor of a hotel? That drone's not going to work very well. Is it going to go?
There's something for a startup to figure out.
Into a lift. And are we going to have a drone shaft where the drone actually flies?
That's right. Bring back the dumbwaiter.
Yeah. If you can't bring it to my hotel door, it's no good to me, right? That's right. What's the point? Fail. So software-defined everything.
Wait, we were talking about hardware.
We were talking about hardware. So Intel basically kick off on Monday. We had a big CPU announcement. Intel's made a bunch of new CPUs. And what's the thing you know about Intel CPUs that ever seems to happen every year?
They get faster and cheaper.
Yeah. Boom. Congratulations. Were you at the launch?
I've seen their commercials.
Yeah, that's right. So the answer is that they got significantly faster, from 30% faster than the previous generation, which is a nice bump. But most importantly, they've announced two new chips called the E710 communications processor and the QuickAssist network acceleration chipset. And these are, we are looking at doing, they are what they call 40 gig ready. So they actually include packet processing engines for 40 gig and above. So that a server is now able to do 40 gig interfaces at wire speed, but also able to do them at incredibly low latency. So if you are trying to do VMware and do routers and firewalls and stuff in VMs, your performance limited today at around about 10 gigabits per second, I think. And you're probably thinking to yourself, actually, I don't even do 10 gig today. But for those of you who think you need something more for tomorrow, you probably want a strategy, because all companies in the world are going to grow about 1,000 times in the next 2 years, and you'll need a 40 gig firewall strategy, wouldn't you?
Yes, presumably. Yes.
So Intel's basically giving you that strategy. So you can now buy these servers with these two chips, these new brand new E5, V3, 26 something something. There's 34 separate SKUs, just for interest, just in case. So you're going to have to pay attention to the details, but these things are going to go over 40 gigabits per second. And I was talking to people later on, and they're actually saying you'll not only will you be able to do 40 gigabit per second burning just a single virtual core, you can actually do 160 gigabits per second per CPU socket. So if you wanted to allocate the whole hardware platform to something, you can get typically 320 gigabits per second of throughput. That's NIC to NIC.
Wow.
Right. So that's 840 gig NICs or 400 gig NICs, basically getting up towards line rate in the hardware if you're doing certain things.
That's impressive.
It is. When you figure, so just to sort of give you some scope to that, if you figure that today you can buy a couple of Cisco ASR 1002-X routers, which is a fairly standard 10 gig router that Cisco offers to customers, and they come in at a shade under for a pair. You need two of them because you've got to have a HA if you're connecting to the internet. You want to take a full routing table and do all that sort of stuff. They're just a shade under 150,000 by the time you buy the box and the chassis and the line cards and the software licenses and stuff, right?
Yep.
And now you could go and buy something like a software router from somebody like Brocade with Viata, a pair of, say, high-end Dells in this capacity, and you'd certainly be getting change out of 20K.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah. So, and you've got the flexibility of it being an x86 server. So you could then still run things on it. So that's sort of the magnitude of that sort of change that could creep in if customers adopt it, of course.
Right. That's the question. Yeah, it also makes me wonder what this might mean for folks like Cumulus and Big Switch.
Yes, because the natural extension of what they're doing is to have... So there is a project out there called... there are software-only... I'm trying to think of the name of it. I'll find it in a minute. Software-only OpenFlow switches that run on servers. And these are really interesting projects. you basically means you could have an x86 box with, say, 40 gig interfaces on it and just use it like an OpenFlow switch. You wouldn't actually need – I don't think it would be very efficient if you were just using it as a switch, but if you're using it as a flow gate or a flow balancer to load balance across other devices using flow balancing, could be a very interesting way to do things at a different point.
Right. So what's Intel's interest in networking all of a sudden?
I think it's the potential for the market. So if you think about it, server growth is slowing because Google and Facebook it makes a good point, right? Nearly everything that was announced was clearly targeted at cloud providers, not enterprises. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean it can't be repurposed for enterprises, but I got the feeling from looking at all the marketing that cloud providers was really, and several of the sessions were sort of looking at, you know, cloud providers who do stuff.
So do you feel like Intel feels like they maybe have lost a march in all of the work that folks like Google and Facebook are doing and, you know, building out their own hardware and their own boxes?
No, I feel that other markets for Intel are stagnant, like 3G, 4G, tablets. They're not getting the growth in those markets that they might have wished for because they kind of missed it.
And ARM. Yeah, ARM stepped in, yeah.
That's right. And they're looking at the $40 to $100 billion market of networking. And going, I think we could own all of that silicon. And so we had demonstration after demonstration in the presentations of people using open source software, and they've developed code to accelerate the networking functions. So we had demonstrations on service chaining, where they would take x86 servers and run virtual routers, virtual proxy servers, virtual load balancers, virtual IDSs, and then they showed us the performance of these systems. Running these new systems. Now, to make these new features, you have to use a thing called DBDK, which is the Data Plane Development Kit, which allows you to access the accelerated features. So it's not like it's just going to be, you know, buy a server, put it in. You'll need to buy or acquire or write DBDK software.
Okay. Yep.
Now, that may not be you and not necessarily open source projects. It may be commercial vendors that you turn to. But
certainly.
Your commercial vendor might go and now have write software which can now perform at the 100 gigabit per second throughput on an appliance. So if you think about this DBDK and these accelerations, so service chaining, we saw demonstrations on software-defined storage. So you look at things like Ceph, talking about how to architect a Ceph cluster to run on Intel and how they're contributing code to the Ceph project and working with Red Hat to use storage acceleration features. So what they're saying is in the E5, there's a number of features specifically designed for storage and storage acceleration to assist with things like deduplication, I/O throughput. So you can accelerate the storage throughput and the networking throughput by just not moving things from the CPU to the memory and then the memory to the bus and then out to wherever it needs to be. The CPU is now able to go directly from the CPU and write to the storage or write directly to the network and thus reduce the latency down and increase the throughput. So it's not just networking, by the way, it's also storage and it's also servers themselves. We'll talk more about software-defined hardware. I can't believe I just said that.
They got to you.
They got to me, yeah. So new CPUs change everything. So what does this mean? I think for me... if you think about anybody, any startup or any competitor to the market can now just go to Intel, pick up these chipsets, glue them to a motherboard. Now, who's going to glue them to the motherboard? Some company in Asia would be my bet, right?
Yep, most likely.
Yep. And so now all you have to do is develop software.
Or a bunch of hipsters in Brooklyn.
That's what it could be. You never know. Maybe we can get some bums from down here that on San Francisco, give them a soldering iron. Doubtful, though. But if you think about if anybody can access these chips and get low-cost silicon to accelerate it, this really opens up the concept of the network appliance and software-defined networking changes because now you've got this high-performance underlay in the network. So instead of just using silicon switches or having routing engines that require custom hardware to get the throughput, the whole bottom end of the market just changes because now you can just use x86 hardware. And that should, I think, allow new entrants into the networking marketplace. So encourage even more startups with new ideas on how to make software do smart things.
Mm-hmm. Which is usually a good thing.
I think so. It could be confusing for customers when you think about, you know, the market's going to have all these different people in. Like, the last decade's been very peaceful.
Well, there's been so much noise in the last couple of years from startups of various stripes tackling various problems along the network and software. So my assumption is, yes, we'll see some innovation, and the innovators who get the most traction will be snapped up by the incumbents.
Yes, but they don't need to make hardware to do these things.
Right.
Right? So the big difference is like... It's like terror. I was reading an article the other day about terrorism and what has been the key enabler for a lot of insurgencies in say, Africa. Uh-huh. And the answer is the AK-47, right?
Right.
If you can arm every one of your army with an AK-47 at a cheap price, then it's actually quite easy to be an insurgent, to set up an army and compete with the government. Mm-hmm. And Intel's making AK-47s, I think. The computing version of AK-47s. So all your custom storage arrays, you know, with all their fancy hardware and buses and software that's doing this and that, becoming obsolete, because now I can just go and buy Intel software, Intel hardware, and then run the software on the top, and it'll go as fast as your legacy EMC NetApp storage array, if not faster.
Interesting. Yeah. So if we extend this metaphor, then... folks like EMC, Cisco, all the other legacies are the governments who may be overthrown by these insurgents.
Yes, that's right.
Certainly their margins may be overthrown.
Yes, you can hold the government to account, and they might have to change their ways. Sometimes you actually overthrow them, and the previous government gets thrown down, and sometimes the incumbent government, you know, beats the hell out of them. You never know where you're going to go.
Sure, or finds a way to co-opt them.
Yes.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yes. So that's my feeling coming away. Now, so software-defined storage, software-defined networking, they demonstrated NFV. There's a whole bunch of very convincing demonstrations of how this stuff works. I'm fundamentally convinced that, you know, now's a good time to be a hardware, software startup in networking, because you can get everything that you need.
There you have it, folks.
One-stop shop.
Waiting for your moment.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking at numbers like terminating, here we go, 100 gigabits per second of platform SSL performance with the QuickAssist chipset. So if you can buy a motherboard with the QuickAssist chipset on it and you need to do SSL, you can do 100 gigabits per second of SSL termination. Mm-hmm. Now, that's really important, because today everybody's servers aren't doing SSL. We tend to do it in F5s,
right?
Because the CPU wasn't very good at doing SSL. But if you can now go and get Intel, for example, Google has said, we will increase the SEO ranking of sites that do SSL only.
That's right.
So there's a huge drive for everybody to get their web traffic encrypted. Well, if it's just a case of buying this new SSL and getting the updated versions of Apache, Nginx, whatever, and you can terminate 100 gigabits per second of SSL on the server, well, you don't need an F5.
Right.
That's disruptive right there.
Yes, it is.
160,000 key operations for key exchange. So when you're doing SSL, or when you're doing IPsec, or if you're doing SSL VPNing between two sites, you might need to do a lot of key exchange. And they're talking about 160,000 key ops with this chipset. 80 gigabits per second of platform compression. So WAN acceleration, right? Which is, again, is important for web servers, because they're doing deflate to compress traffic as it leaves. 80 gigabits per second of platform IPsec.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, to get 80 gigabits per second before... Now, even if it's out by half, right? So even if it's only 40 gigs, I mean, only? Today, we're spending $250,000 a unit to get a 40 gigabit per second VPN concentrator.
Right.
These chipsets will sell, you know, no doubt Intel will sell them for a premium and they'll come out, but even at $10,000 a board, not that much.
Yeah, certainly less than a, you know, purpose-built appliance.
Yes. And it's also reasonable to expect incumbent vendors should be reducing their price, because they no longer have to manufacture these chips.
And I mean, we've already seen, you mentioned WAN acceleration, we've seen those folks starting to develop a virtualization story, a software-based WAN acceleration instead of hardware-based.
Yes. Well.
So this seems like it may accelerate that.
Yes. Well, the flip side of it here is that the network, this push to encryption I just talked about, you know, this concept of network services the idea of being able to look into the traffic and decide if I can compress it or do some value adding to the traffic flow by stealing somebody's personal data, fundamentally. But anyway, if we get to ubiquitous compression, and the prediction is that 80% of web traffic will be encrypted by the end of next year, then you actually can't do anything in the network because it's encrypted.
Right.
Right. You can't proxy, you can't accelerate, you can't inspect, you can't do deep packet inspection, you can't do, IPSing. What are you going to look for in the IPS if the payload's encrypted? You can't see it. It's encrypted.
Right.
So all of these things are important because you're going to need to do them end to end. So that means that the server that, you know, that your desktop has to be able to do this sort of some of it. But the server has to be able to terminate 1,000 users or 10,000 users doing SSL or doing IPsec or doing SSL VPNs.
Right. Okay. Yes. And multiple other functions.
Yes. One more thing. Intel Ethernet Controller XL710. They had running demonstrations there showing terminating Geneva. So Geneva is the new overlay protocol. So we've been talking about VXLAN for a long time. NVGRE was Microsoft's, but it's fading away. No one cares. But Geneva is likely to be the new one that's being promoted for various reasons. We won't talk about it today. But they're already able to do packet matching, flexible packet matching of any type of tunnel protocol, basically.
Cool.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So look for a shakeup. How long do you think it'll take for this to come down, Andrew? How long do you think it is before we give everybody an AK-47 and they start charging the towers?
Well, it's funny, as you're talking about this new wave of disruption, I feel like we still haven't gotten through the current wave of disruption. So I'm thinking 2-3 years before we really start to see things settle out and see what kind of startups emerge, see who gets bought, who goes where. I think we're still in for a long ride.
That's what I'm saying, is that you don't build an army overnight. So just because you've got a bag, some boxes of AK-47s doesn't necessarily mean you build an army.
That's right.
No, I agree. But I think it's, the purpose of this show is to examine the future.
Yeah, take some guesses, some educated guesses.
Yeah, but I think this is sort of a hallmark of, we talked about merchant switching silicon being unlocking the white box and changing the way out.
Yes.
This, to me, looks like a similar innovation in its prototype, like in the early stage, emergent stage. And if you were a network architect and looking down the 5 years of the future, you might think to yourself, why am I buying custom hardware for that firewall? I should buy the smaller version and save money because I'm expecting it to run on Intel hardware in the future.
That's right. Yeah, swap it out.
Yep. So one last thing to talk about is Intel had this thing called rack scale architecture. Have you heard of this?
I have not heard of rack scale architecture. Is it software defined?
It's software defined hardware, you'll be pleased to know.
Okay.
It really is. So the idea behind rack scale architecture is that, why are we buying servers? Really what we actually want is CPUs and memories and hard disk drives and network adapters, right? And a server is just an arbitrary module or, conglomeration of, of those resources.
That's right.
Right. So the question is then, why don't I just sell them CPUs and hard drives and memory modules and then they can allocate them? You could go and build your own server out of the available pool. So Intel's cooked up a reference architecture to sort of show how this might work. You go and get a tray full of CPUs and a tray full of memory and a tray full of hard drives, and you connect them all via some sort of backplane using an Ethernet backplane of some sort. And then they all share the network adapters. And you can say, I want this CPU and this much memory and this much SSDs off the back tray, and just create physical servers. So software-defined hardware.
So how is this different from Blades or the other converged infrastructure that we're hearing a lot about?
So Blades, you still have CPU, memory, hard drives on the blade. Yep. Or maybe you don't have hard drives. And the networking comes usually from the mid-plane in the back, right? Mid-plane's a pretty expensive way to buy network connectivity or server connectivity, and largely obsolete these days. I don't know why people are buying blades, to be honest. But if you still basically got to buy this blade, and you get the CPU, the memory, you don't get to choose what memory. You only get to choose the blade and what's on it. So when you go for a UCS M4, you know, the new ones that Cisco's got, they've pre-packaged them for you. They've decided that you can have this this CPU, this memory module, and this bus plane, backplane, and this. Some people call that value. Some people call that lack of choice.
Okay.
So what this does is says you could just keep adding CPUs. So if a new generation CPU comes along and you want to use it, you go and buy another sled of, you just keep putting some of those in, and then you can design your own server as you see fit.
So is this the server design, does it require a significant, are we talking like a whole new skill set, or is it, you know, sort of fairly easy to say, put this here, put that there, link this together with the software layer?
Well, you'll be delighted to know that they've got a new specification, new API. Are you tired of hearing about APIs yet?
They go hand in hand with software defined, so let's roll with it.
Let's roll with it, right. So they've created a new specification called the redfishspecification.org, which is an API for creating software defined hardware. So you can now specify. It's again, early stages. It's out there. They're seeking comments. So if you're remotely interested, redfishspecification.org. And it's specifically focused. Today it's being promoted as a way of getting advanced telemetry about your server. So how hot is your CPU running? How fast is the internal bus going? You know, how much memory, how much clock cycles, and that sort of stuff. But in the future, it'll be used to configure your rack scale architecture and to say, I've got this many CPUs and this much memory, allocate them together, make me a physical server, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have a chat with, I'm organizing a podcast to talk more about rack scale architecture in the future, because I personally think it's silly. Let's think about it. If I'm going to go and build a server, now I actually have to go and check all my CPUs and all my memory modules are available, and then I have to allocate them all together. And then once that's working, then I can start to install my operating system. Mm-hmm. Do people really want that extra step?
Yeah. Of course, there's going to be corner cases that say yes.
Yeah, yes.
But most people want to just go to the bakery and buy a cake.
Yes. And, you know, if you look at over the last decade, we've seen, you know, companies like eGenera go broke trying to do exactly this. Because, you know, when the new E5 V3 comes out, it'll be a year before it gets packaged into a rack scale architecture. Mm-hmm. The people who make servers sell them in vast volumes.
Right.
They make cakes. They put them onto a production line and churn out the cakes ready for you. But if you want to hand make your rack scale architecture, you know, you might only find that three of the 34 E5 processors are fit for use on the rack scale architecture. But you don't actually want that. Wow. You're fresh out of luck.
Yep.
So I remain deeply dubious and cynical for a change.
Any other magic coming out of Intel Developer Forum?
100 gigabase CLR4. I'm still working on this, but they put Andy Bekelstein on stage with Diane Bryant, who's the head of the Intel data center team. Both of these people are supposed to be really important because they're in charge of things. apparently they can change the world, but they can only do what their technology can do, of course. And they announced this thing called 100 gigabase CLR4, which is a low-cost 100 gig specification. So we talked earlier about 25 gig.
Yes.
And I think we said we've got a problem with 100 gig. We need low-cost 100 gig.
Yes.
So people have obviously thought about this ahead of us. Who knew? So 100 gigabase CLR4 is using one pair of fiber optic cables, or single mode fiber optic cable, to go up to 2 kilometers for low cost. We're talking cheaper than the 40 gigabase interfaces. So this standard is designed. It is an open specification. So there is a competing standard coming from Cisco. Cisco and Finisar have partnered together, but it's a closed standard. Only Cisco has it, and Finisar wants to charge license fees for people to use it. Whereas Arista and Intel have collaborated to produce an open specification that anybody can use. You can go to a website called something 100 gigabase CLR4.org or something, and you can download the specification and read it to your heart's content. It's extremely boring, but the takeaway should be cheap 100 gig is coming, open, and an open standard will be implemented by everybody. So SFP manufacturers around the world won't have to pay licensing fees to Finisar and Cisco.
Sure.
And that means probably, you know, radically improves the chances of it being a successful standard.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'll put a blog post up in the next few days showing some pictures of the connectors and the way it works.
We will look forward to that.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure somebody will.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, you know, we need 100 gigabase. Again, not everybody needs it today. Most people are still getting to 10 gig.
Yes.
But if you're a network architect, you need to plan forward. If you're thinking about what you're going to do with 25 gig, you need to know that there's cheap 100 gig coming that's viable for an enterprise data center 3 to 5 years away. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm interested in that.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we all should be interested.
Yes.
This
yes,
is how things move forward.
Mm. Well, I'm off to polish up my AK-47.
Gonna go collect an army.
Bullets is what I need now. Bullets.
That's right. That it all came together except for the bullets. All right. Well, where can folks find you when you're off running around with your AK-47?
They can, in a good way. Yes. They can find me on my blog at etherealmind.com. They can find me on the Twitters as @etherealmind. And you can also find me on Network Computing occasionally. I think there's a few. I think I'm going to write about software-defined hardware. It's kind of like, you know when something hurts and you can't help but touch it just to see if it still hurts?
That's right.
I think that's where we're going with software-defined hardware.
Okay, good.
Yep. And what about you?
You can find me on Twitter at @interop_Andrew. You can also find both of us live and in person at Interop New York starting September 29th at the lovely Javits Center in New York City. There's a special discount available for packet pushers, listeners and readers. I wrote a blog about it. You can find it on packetpushers.com. If you'd like to see Greg or Ethan or any other packet pushers crew live and in person, come to New York.
And you should send that over so we put it in the show notes so people can find it. And if you want to follow any of the links, that'll be in the blog post that accompanies this podcast.
Absolutely.
Well, such as it is, there won't be too many links this week because all I did was gibber on about Intel. But
that's okay. It was we did this sort of quick and dirty at the seat of our pants, but more discussion about interesting things coming forward. So I think it was worthwhile. And great. We hope you did too.
Yep.
And we will talk to you again.
Bye.
Bye-bye.